Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to the Voice on the Podcast, episode 172 on Mystical Opinions, brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. I'm Dan Hilton, and after the disheartening conversation that Frances and I got into on our El Clasico review show, it's time for some hope as we enter the new year. And that means I called up my friend Navid Molagai to update us on what's going on for Barcelona B and the rest of La Masia. Navid, how have you been?
Yeah, hi Dan, I'm good, thanks, and you?
I think we're okay. I think we're first place at Barcelona for this holiday break. They're in good spot in the Champions League as well. I think the first team just has to take some of the notes from the La Masia teams and start playing the way that Barcelona is supposed to play. So I think it's time to talk about a little bit of hope. And one of the things that does give me hope and where we start this show is not really even in La Masia anymore, but in the first team. Ansu Fati, the youngest to score an assist in a Liga match, the third youngest goal scorer in the Liga history, the youngest goal scorer in Barcelona history, the second youngest debutant in Barcelona history, the youngest in Barcelona history to play in the Champions League. I'm almost done. The youngest goal scorer in Champions League history and the first player born in 2002 to play in the Liga. Now, I don't want to tap us on the back and compliment us, Navid, but you and I, since you first came on our program in 2017, we've been talking and discussing Ansu Fati and just how special of a talent he was. And he's still just 17 years old. He turned 17 just about 2 months ago. And yet he's almost becoming not what we expected him to be, because I don't think we could even expect that he would skyrocket the first team in the way that he did.
Yeah. I definitely did not expect him to have the season that he's currently having. I mean, it's simply like it's never happened before that a talent just jumps through to the first team like that. He's never even been called up for the B team, like for an official game. He played a couple of B games during the preseason where he scored like 3 or 4 goals and was extremely impressive, and he even played as a striker, as a 9, and he was just scoring like headers, left footed long shot goals, and he was pretty incredible. And then he got up with the first team for a couple of training sessions and like hasn't looked back since. It's pretty ridiculous. Like, just to put it in perspective, like Messi, he played 30 something games with Barca B and Barca C before he got a shot at the first team. Like Iniesta, Xavi, like all these players, Busquets, they played at least 25, 30 games for the reserves before getting to play with the big boys. And it's so impressive. And like, it's, I don't even know like in which other way to describe it. Like, it's unheard of, and it's extremely impressive. And it's even more impressive that he's managed to just continue and to continue to impress, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty incredible. And it is interesting, the juxtaposition between that and the Ricky Puig situation, where he's been, I mean, of what I've seen of him this year, I've seen him in about 7 or 8 matches. So I have watched a considerable amount of Barcelona B. And I can say, I mean, he's as ready as you could possibly be. I think if anything, his form and the way he's been playing in the third division, because he really has gotten used so much to the third division, it's almost, in my opinion, stalling his growth. And he's of an age now where it's time for first team football. And if it doesn't come at Barcelona, you really do, even though he says he wants to stay at the club, that's really the worry, that he has to go out on loan. He has to be playing at a higher level. And it is a funny thing that as much as Valverde is giving Fati's opportunities, that midfield is just so congested at the first team because Rakitic and Vidal were never sold in the way that one of them at least was expected to be sold over the summer. So that means Pooh just, there are no minutes to go around for, you know, barely any minutes for Lenya anyway. He was frozen out for 3 months. So where's Pooh's going to get minutes? And that is unfortunately, Navid, a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah, I mean, as unprecedented as Ansu's situation has been, as unprecedented has Riki's situation been, because, I mean, he has shown so much for the B team. He's shown so much quality. He's shown that he's developed the way he should have been developing. He's impressing every single week. He's done so well in the first team matches that he's gotten, and it's just unheard of that such a player that has shown so much for the B team over a couple of seasons hasn't gotten an actual opportunity for the first team yet. I mean, he's like, I saw some Barca, like one Barca historian, Angel Ituaraga, like he said that Riki has shown a lot more than Iniesta ever shown at the B team, like in terms of achievements. So like, it's just, he should have been with the first team. He should have been with the first team since the summer. And I'm not saying that Riki has more potential or whatever than Iniesta, but like in terms of what they've shown at the B team and the fact that he's turning 21 next year, he has to play first team football somewhere. And the worrying thing is that he'll be loaned out to some club that doesn't suit him, and then he won't develop the right way, and then the window has closed. Like just with Sergi Samper, who also stayed too long for the first too long with the B team, and in the end was ruined by injuries and by very, very bad loan deals. So I think he's pretty precautious in terms of like just accepting whatever the club is throwing at him if there's no room for the first team. And it's so weird because like the club should be pushing him forward, like also in terms of course in terms of on pitch, like he's such a talented footballer, but also in terms of off the pitch, like he would almost immediately become like a star, a personality, like a PR machine for the club. And it's
that's true.
I have absolutely no idea why they're like, I obviously I have an idea, like Valverde just don't want to get rid of a couple of old midfielders who I don't think would can contribute as much over a season. So I think that's the problem. Like, we just have to get rid of some players.
Yeah, right. It's just too congested at the top. So before we get to some of the other Barcelona B players I want to talk about, while we're on the topic of exodus from the club, the recent news from La Masia is that Juan Larios, who's playing for Cadet A, that he's a left back, 15 years old, was considered one of the more promising, not just left backs, but players in La Masia. He's reportedly going to Manchester City when he turns 16 in January. And we would be regressed to mention, actually, since you last came on at the end of last season, that Raul Moro, who we had spoken about, he's moved to Lazio, Lazio's U19s in Italy. And then, obviously, very well-known Xavi Simons has headed to PSG, which was not a surprising move, considering the way that it all transpired. We had spoken about, Frances and I on the show, about his motivations and why he left, but we don't need to focus too much on Simons. As we and you and I had spoken about, he wasn't even necessarily the first choice midfielder when he was playing, as even though he was at times captain of the Cadet A squad, he wasn't necessarily, you know, the shining example of a midfielder on that team. There was a lot of talented players on that team. So he did go to PSG. And I said, Juan Larios situation is just unfortunate because it is another young player now, this time going to Manchester City to join Eric Garcia and Adrian Bernabe.
Yeah. Juan is he's a good player, definitely. But fortunately, the amount of talented left backs that are being produced in La Masia these days are absolutely ridiculous. And frankly, I don't think that he's better than Alejandro Balde, for example. So I think it makes complete sense that he sees this competition and he sees that, like the first team, they sign a very talented left back from outside, even though they have a very talented left back. On the B team, they had a very talented left back on the B team, Juan Miranda. They signed a very talented left back from Betis Junior, and they also have a very talented under-19s left back, Alejandro Balde. So I think he saw the situation and thought, I'll probably get better chances at Man City, where I'm definitely going to be the most promising left back in the academy outside the first team, and I'll get some chances around the first team, like before I turn 19, for example. And at the same time, I don't think the club will try to go a long way to persuade him to stay, because they see that they have got this position covered for the future. But he is definitely a great, great, great talent. Like he's a very technical, almost midfield-like left back, while Alejandro Balde is a bit more dynamic and vertical. Larios is a bit more horizontal, but he's also been injured a lot. Although he's had a very good season this year, where he's been playing with Juvenil B, where he should be playing with Cadet A every week. He's been playing with Juvenil B, just as Alejandro Balde has been playing with the A team. But I would put my bet on Alejandro Balde to become the better player, but I completely understand the decision for Larios to leave. He's a nice kid, and I also know that he's very interested in like the NBA and other American sports. So I would assume that his English is pretty well, pretty good as well. So that I don't think he'll have a hard time adapting at City. I think it's a great move for him.
Yeah, that's an interesting note as well, Naveed. Good on you. And before we continue on with the left backs, I want to speak about a few players for Barcelona B. Now, Hiroki Abe, never really a La Masia talent, just came in for Barcelona B from Japan. And, you know, I don't want you to mention, we don't need to talk about Kubo at all on this show. Naveed, you know our new rule after he signed for Real Madrid, now on loan with Mallorca. But as far as Japanese talent, you know, Abe was not considered to be the same talent that Kubo was, but it seems like Abe is actually really finding his feet and getting better with Barcelona B. He's currently playing for Pimienta as a false nine, which, again, that's the roses to it. The thorn is that Abel Ruiz, still just 19, of all the years we've been talking about Abel Ruiz, he's still just 19 years old, still just a teenager. He has been relegated to either the wing or coming off the bench, which doesn't seem to be a place that he enjoys. So Abel Ruiz looks like he may be heading out on loan. And then I just want to speak about the futures and where you see the progress of Alex Callado and Manchu as well, two of the more important influential players for Barcelona B.
I think unlike Abel Ruiz, I think that Callado and Manchu will continue at the club after January. I think Abel's situation is pretty bad. He's just not taking off. As soon as Abel started scoring some goals, like he was just regularly benched. Abel scored two goals last weekend. But like yesterday, for example, I think Pimienta just made some terrible decisions yesterday in a away game against Olot, which Barça B lost 1-0. Like Abe wasn't doing well, and Barça B clearly needed a nine, like that they could send long balls up against. Like the pitch was terrible; they couldn't play the kind of football you'd like to play with a false nine in Segunda B. And Abel Ruiz played very well there last season away on the same pitch. But Pimienta waited until the 87th minute to put on Abel. And Barça B were actually the most dangerous throughout the game, like in the last 10 minutes, where Araujo was playing as a nine basically, and then Abel also came and they became even more dangerous. So I think Pimienta made a wrong decision yesterday, but Abel is definitely leaving. He's just not taking off the way we had all hoped. Like there are some rumors that Barça only wants to sell with a buyback clause, and that Valencia and Sporting Lisbon are interested. And like, I think that he has to leave to find himself, find the best version of himself, because it's just not cutting for him. Like he's just not doing well enough at Barça B. You just got to be real about it. He's just not doing well enough.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe going home to Valencia. Remember, he's from the Valencian community. So
yeah.
Going home to Valencia might be a helpful thing for him. But where Pimienta hasn't been able to help Abel Ruiz, we're going to go back to talking about left backs, because Pimienta has been able to not only incorporate the left back that came over from Rayo Vallecano, that's 22-year-old Sergio Akeme, but also 17-year-old Mika Marmol, who's been playing in the UEFA Youth League, also with Juvenil A. He's been getting some appearances recently, the 17-year-old for Barcelona B, and he's been breaking in there. So Marmol has, I think, for me at least, been a pleasant surprise. He wasn't a player that, when last year when I went through all those La Masia profiles, Marmol was not one of the ones that I highlighted or that jumped out on the page, because obviously Alejandro Balde is playing with Juvenil A, could be playing with Juvenil B. He is just 1 year younger than Marmol as a 16-year-old, so he was the one that we had earmarked there. But I think Marmol has stepped up in that position. Now, I do want to focus on a player. I think, as well as we had said, Ansu Fati was basically our La Masia player of the year last year. You know, not that's discounting Puig because he was playing with Barca B. I guess we might have to discount another guy playing for Barca B, but who should be playing with the Juvenil A still, and that is Jandro Orellana. And Orellana, 10 Barcelona B appearances already this year. He still did start the season playing with in one UEFA Youth League match before Pimienta said, no, no, this guy is Barcelona B material. And for me, I think he's been the best talent of La Masia so far. He's, I think, really showing himself well. But you also do almost put an asterisk next to it that he's also already 19. So it's not like he's the same age as Abra Ruiz. So it's not like he's completely hidden. But I think Orellana has just been really fantastic this year playing both as a defensive midfielder. Maybe that's going to be his possession, best position at the first team. But more recently, he's been playing farther up the field as almost an attacking midfielder, and that has suited him as well. So Orellana, for me, has, I think, been the most accomplished La Masia talent.
Yeah, Orellana is a very, very interesting talent. Like his 17-18 season was ruined by injuries at Juvenil A, so they decided to keep him at Juvenil A last season, where he played as a 10. Like, he was playing as an attacking midfielder. And I've always been used to seeing him as a defensive midfielder, and he was just bossing at attacking midfielder, like scoring a lot of goals and assisting a lot of goals, and he was doing very, very well. So like for this season, we knew that he was gonna feature more for Barca B, and it was time for him to play with Barca B, and he hadn't been injured all last season, so that was also a good sign. And then when he started playing this season, like he was coming off the bench. Normally, Pimienta would start the Dutch signing Ludovic Reis and giving him some minutes, but he was just not doing well in his new system and it didn't work out for him. So, and since Pimienta started with Jandro in the lineup, the Barca B midfield just improved so much. Like you would think that it would be very strong already with Ricky, Manchu, and even Collado as well, but like when Jandro came in, like he made sure that the defensive part and the defensive build-up part was intact so that Manchu and Ricky could focus on attack. And we've already seen Ricky and Manchu score and assist a lot more this season than they did last season. Like Manchu for most of all the games is actually the most dangerous Barca B player. At least that was before Hiroki Abe started his goal-scoring streak. But like Jandro has really, really balanced the team in a perfect sense. And we saw yesterday again that that when Jandro is not in the midfield, the game is always awful for Barca B. Ludovic Reis started again yesterday. Like it was a Garcia Pimenta. He thinks like very primitively for these games. Like he just sees a difficult away opponent in a bad pitch, and then he puts on Reis instead of Jandro. Reis was a bit more experienced, a bit older, and a bit more physical. But Barca B are terrible whenever he's on the pitch. Like they don't combine well. And yesterday when Jandro came on, he came on with 15 minutes to go and improved the team immediately. He's done extremely well. And like he's not a flashy player. Like he plays the simple passes and he makes the team function. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he'll adapt to the first team chances that he is eventually going to get. I think it'll be interesting to see how he manages physically, but like he's such a smart kid. He's an exemplary, how do you say it? Like he's the ideal Barca midfielder, whether you use him as a pivote or central midfielder. He's very, very interesting and been very exciting to watch this season.
Yeah, it's been interesting that when Reis was brought to Barcelona B, some of the things that were said about him was he was an Arturo Vidal type midfielder, which is always a surprising thing for Barca to go out and get that kind of profile. But yeah, it's been great to watch Orellana's development, and I hope that he's another one that's really banging on the door next. And it's no offense to Manchu and Callado. I think, as I've said, the same thing about Carlos Perez. I think these are first team talents almost anywhere, but whether or not they're able to break through to Barcelona's first team in a way that Fati has, and that I truly believe that Puig has, I do actually put Orellana in that category that I think after Puig, I would say that he's the most likely to knock into the first onto the first team door. Yeah. And that might be another year or two, but
I think Jandro has more potential than Collado and Manchu for the first team. I think Collado and Manchu, this is their last season for Barca B, and I think that they will leave on loan next summer. Like if I had to guess, because they're not going to leave permanently. They have long-term contracts, and the club definitely would like them to stay. And I think they see themselves as having a chance for the first team long-term. But I mean, if there's no room for Riqui to be promoted right now, or if there's no room for Alenia to get a lot of minutes right now, there's definitely no room for Collado and Manchu. So they have to go on loan. And I think they could be loaned out to any La Liga side and hopefully do pretty well. Like just like a mid-table La Liga side, I think they would do well, both of them, like in two very different ways. Like Collado is a pretty individualistic attacking midfielder, while Manchu is like, he likes to lay deep and just like play great long balls and also get inside the box and be pretty dangerous. Like he's a bit of more of an organizer, while Collado is a much more attacking individualistic player.
So now we're going to be moving from talking about Barcelona B and a little bit of Juvenil A. We're going to really focus on the Juvenil A today, or the Juvenil A now. And unfortunately, that means we have to bring up the UEFA Youth League, where Barcelona did not do so great, to put it lightly. They lost 5 of the 6 UEFA Youth League matches this season. That doesn't mean, though, there hasn't been promising players. Now, we're going to start by talking about the opposite ends of the pitch. We'll talk about Louis Barry, who unfortunately, because of paperwork, because of he's coming from the UK, he came from West Brom over the summer. It took a long time for his paperwork to be completed, and that means that Juvenil A, and for the time being, was under Victor Valdez before Valdez was dismissed. And it's funny, since I spoke to you last, Navid, Victor Valdez both came to Juvenil A and then was released and fired from Juvenil A all in that same time period, to tell you just how short of a time that he was with the club. And then on the other side of the pitch, though, in a very promising way, Arnau Tanas, the goalkeeper that is basically behind Iñaki Peña for Barcelona B. Tanas is just the next in a line of Barcelona keepers that unfortunately may not be able to upseat Marc-André Ter Stegen or get minutes for the next few seasons. But Tanas, I think, has been one of the few bright spots of the UEFA Youth League campaign for the Juvenil A, or the U19s, if you will, that, again, is no longer under the care of Victor Valdez.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Valdez situation was a bit of a farce. I mean, he arrived at the club, and immediately from day one, he noticed that that his bosses were actively working against him and didn't really want him. Apparently, he was Bartomeu signing, but after the board member in charge of La Masia, Xavi Villajoana, made a new position at the club, a La Masia director position at the club, and hired Kluivert, Valdez just noticed that those two didn't want him at the club. So there were a lot of off-pitch issues, and it ended up pretty badly with Valdez leaving. And he started pretty well in the league with the team, but in the youth league, the team was a bit too inexperienced, and despite a couple of good games, they lost the first two games. Then Valdez was sacked, and Frank Artiga, who is also, like, for me, he's the best La Masia coach, and he was appointed. Couldn't stay on the sidelines for a couple of months because Valdez wasn't technically sacked at that point, or there were some bureaucratic issues. So he had to coach the team from the stands, and they won away against the big surprise of the group, Slavia Prague, who were very strong. Like, they beat them 4-0 away, so that was very positive. But then at home, they led at halftime, but ended up losing against them, and they also lost against against Inter and Dortmund at home. So like it was very disappointing youth league campaign. But I would just put the blame on the very bad situation outside the pitch for Hunele. And then, I mean, they were good in some games and where they didn't deserve to lose. But I mean, they also had an extremely difficult group. Inter and Dortmund are very strong as always. And then Prague were a great surprise, actually. So, I mean, and now they can just focus on the league instead, where they're actually first against, like, above of Zaragoza and Espanyol, who have two extremely good generations coming through. So that's a great positive.
Yeah, so let's do almost a quick fire. I'm basically for the rest of the show for Juvenil A, the Juvenil yeah. Bay, and the Cadet A. We're basically going to do, maybe give us about two sentences on every of the players that I named. I know that's going to be really tough. I know it's a big challenge, but we're going to see. I just want to break through as many names as we possibly can. So we're going to start with the two names I already mentioned in Arnaud Tanas. He's been good, correct?
Yes, he's the best goalkeeper I've seen in La Masia.
And I think that sums up what we've seen from him. Would you consider him more of a shot-stopping goalkeeper or more of somebody like Ter Stegen who relies on reflexes?
Both. I mean, he's actually pretty ridiculous. His only disadvantage is his physique. Like he's not that tall.
Yeah.
But he's also a madman. He doesn't care. Like he just want to play the way that he plays, and he'll make a silly mistake with his feet, and then he'll try the exact same move after kickoff. Like after, if they concede a goal from his mistake, he'll do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Like he's very, very identical to Valdez. Probably the greatest shame of Valdez leaving is that he can't coach tennis anymore.
Yeah.
And I think Valdez absolutely loved him. He's constantly shouting in every single game. So I think he has more potential than Iñaki Peña, even though that Iñaki Peña is very, very talented. I think that Tenas is more lucky with timing as well, but because Ter Stegen is going to stay for so many years still. So Tenas, I hope that he'll have time to also challenge Ter Stegen, because I think that he has potential to become Barca captain for the first team, I think.
So as unfortunate as we talked about Álvaro Ruiz and the future of the number 9 position at Barcelona, Louis Barry came over from West Brom because I think La Masia felt like there was a need at that position. So Louis Barry, after all this time, has really only been playing for a little over a month now since his paperwork was completed, but he has started to bang in goals and look a little more promising.
Yeah, he's adapting. He won't start in the most important games. He'll come off the bench, and where he has been pretty good, he scores some goals coming off the bench, and he's like the second youngest player of the squad. And he's still adapting, new country, new everything. So yeah, he's adapting. I hope that he has a good mentality off the pitch. I hope that he has a good training discipline, work ethic, because he's going to need it. And hopefully from next season onwards, he's going to start for the under-19s.
Yeah, and he was a player that I hope that we speak about him again in much better light over the summertime as well. Now, another guy I have to mention here, I can't believe we got all the way through, 25 or so minutes without talking about Iyech Mariba. Other than Ansu Fati, he's the name that you and I have been now speaking about for about 2 years. We were really afraid that he wasn't going to re-sign last January when he turned 16, but he's been lighting it up for Juvenil A, and he actually was a part of that drama with Victor Valdez when apparently Valdez just, didn't really find him to be useful for giving him his Barcelona B debut. So, but Mariba, we are recording this about a week before it's going to come out. So when you have it in your ears, we pre-recorded it. So just yesterday, Mariba had a pretty unbelievably sensational solo goal where he went by a few defenders and then just popped it right over the goalkeeper. Do you think that Mariba this season has just been down to the highlights again, or do you think he's been putting in the full 90-minute performances that we know he's capable of?
I mean, he's been a pretty dominant player at the under-19s. He's also got his Barca B debut. It was a big shame with what happened with Valdez. I mean, Valdez really used him in many weird positions, like in attack and stuff, during the preseason and in the first games of the season, and then he benched him once And Elish, apparently that's what the reports say, that Elish, together with his parents, they went up to Kluivert, Valdez's boss, and complained over Valdez, which, to be fair, to be honest, I'm not sure if that's the right way to go, but in any case, that's the past, and he's doing extremely well. That goal yesterday was ridiculous. I can only encourage everyone to go watch it. Like, even the first team accounts tweeted it in both in English and Spanish, like Twitter accounts. Yeah, he has some great qualities, but actually it's funny because, like, for the Barca B talented midfielders, there's not any room in the first team for them, and for the under 19 talented midfielders, there's not any room on the B team for them. So Elish has been playing. He's gotten a couple of games for Barca B this season, but unless some bad injuries happen, or unless, I don't know, in a shocking event that Riqui Puig will be promoted in January, I don't think Elish will be important for the B team until next season. But he's definitely playing well, and I don't think that we should forget the other extremely talented midfielder of the team, Nico Gonzalez, whom I personally more like in terms of style. I think he's more the kind of smart Barca DNA midfielder, like the kind of midfielder that I really like. And he's also been extremely good this season. I tweeted a video of his, like a short highlight video of his from this season and a bit from last season as well. Like he's very interesting as well. So I think he's going to compete with Elish for Barca B starting place next season.
Yeah, so now I'm going to give you just a list of the rest of the names from the Juvenil A squad, and I'm going to have you basically pick out who stood out to you among this list. These are all players that we've basically mentioned before with a few new names here. So first, I'm going to mention Jaume Jardy, who's always at the tops of the La Masia scoring charts, but Jardy moving up from Juvenil B. He, unlike as we mentioned about Pablo Moreno in the past, he stayed at the club. Then alongside him on the wing, Conrad De La Fuente, who's also been breaking into Barcelona B, it should be mentioned, the U.S. player who, you know, we've spoken about him in the past as well. His decision-making, I think, has to improve. He showed up at the U20 World Cup over the summer for the U.S. that, you know, I got to see him much closer there. I think his decision-making needs to get better, but he certainly has the physical tools, and he's adding some finishing product, so it's good for De La Fuente. And then Gerard Fernandez, who is the number 9 for the Juvenil A team, 17-year-old, who came over from Cornea. He returned after leaving in 2016. So Gerard Fernandez, that's why you keep seeing that name on the score sheet. He's been now the number 9 for the Juvenil A's. You mentioned Nico Gonzalez, so we also have to mention the defensive midfielder in the Juvenil A team, and that's Alvaro Sanz, as well as we did already mention the left back as well, Alejandro Balde. And then the two new center backs for the Juvenil A team are Xavier Mboyamba, the 17-year-old from the Netherlands, and then Igor, the 18-year-old from Brazil. That is the consistent, they have not started every game together, but that is a consistent Juvenil A center back pairing. So of all the names I just threw at you, I know it's a lot, Navid, just you can pick and choose which of those names, again, many that we've mentioned before, but some new names as well that have impressed you with Juvenil A.
Yeah, Conrad, I don't know if you've seen it, but Ferran Martinez of Mundo Deportivo just wrote today that Conrad has rejected Barca's latest renewal offer and could be leaving in January, which is a shame, but I don't think that he's as even close to being as talented as Ansu, for example. And there are other good wingers and strikers on the team as well. So it would be a shame to lose him, but I think there are other good players as well. Among them, Jaume Jardy, who has been impressive in his first year at Juvenil A, playing slightly out of position at right wing. Like, it's, I don't even know if he's best at right wing or center forward, but he's been doing well. Like he's only able to score screamers from outside the box. So for whatever reason, like, he has probably the best left foot of La Masia. Gerard Fernandez, I like to call him Peke. That's his nickname, Peke, like, because he's so small. He's been very impressive as well. Like he returned after being, gone from La Masia for a few years. He was at Cornea. He has returned and done very well. Like he's both a false nine, but also a normal striker, even though he's so small. He's very, very smart off the ball. I like his style a lot, and I hope that unlike like the more normal nines that come through La Masia and have all these kind of difficulties when they reach senior football, I hope that Peke will prove to be a different from Rose when he reaches Barca B. Alvaro Sanz is a good midfielder, but I think that he'll be the victim of other very talented midfielders coming through the club.
Yeah.
And in terms of the center backs, Xavi Mbuyamba has definitely been the best of the two signings. I've seen people say that he's too good for Junale already. So I think that he'll be playing with Barca B next season. Igor, I haven't seen much of him actually, but Mbuyamba has been more impressive when I've seen the two together. He's very tall, like physically he's just a beast, and he's also pretty dangerous in the box on set pieces.
Yeah, he does remind me a bit of Araujo with the B team. Yeah. Yeah, I see comparisons there. Well, let's go down to the Juvenil B level. Now, again, Balde did start there and has been moving up to the Juvenil A level. But the guy that I've earmarked, I've only been able to see the Juvenil Bays, I caught them once on one of the feeds that Barca posted. So Shoes Alba for me has been the most impressive. Seven goals for him this season. But I think with the Juvenil B team, it is a lot of a team concept. There are different players. Again, at that age, we're talking 16 and 17-year-olds. You know, from game to game, you have another player being the best player on the pitch. So it depends on the games that you're even tuning into and watching. So along with Chus Alba in the midfield, the Moroccan left winger I really liked, Zacharias Gaylan, a 17-year-old, Jorge Alastui, who was the captain of Cadet A last year. We've spoken about him on the show as well. 16 now this year. Brian Pena, who remained with Juvenil B after playing with them last year. 17-year-old who last season was his first year in La Masia, having come over from Espanyol. And then the two attackers in Fermin Lopez and Leo Dos Reis, both of them 16 years old. Dos Reis, the number 9. Lopez, more of the kind of do-everything attacker, can play on the wing, can play as an attacking midfielder. But of all those names, too, Navid, which one would you like to update on, and which one has impressed you at the Juvenil B level?
I think Zacharias Gaylan has been the most impressive attacker. He's also played a bit for Juvenil A, where he actually scored this weekend, coming on off the bench. So that's already competition for someone like Louis Barry, who is the same age. Otherwise, like, the team is a great collective. They're first in the league with 35 points, just 1 point down to Sabadell and Girona. They've drawn quite a few games, but they've only lost one and won 10, and like their goal difference is 26. They've scored 44 goals in 16 games, so they score a lot of goals, and their top scorer is Diego Lopez, who's not that impressive individually, but he just scores a lot of goals. I'm not sure how long he's gonna make it in the system, but he at least he scores, like he does his job, so hopefully he'll continue. He's benched Leo Dos Reis permanently. Yeah, Dos Reis, he's a bit of a tank. I'm not sure he fits the profile that the club would like for a 9. And yeah, Jorge Alastue, definitely the most talented midfielder of this generation. Like when Xavi Simons left, like, I mean, Xavi is a great talent, but not near Alastue. Unfortunately, with Alastue, he's been out for a year now because of an ACL tear, and he's not come back yet. It's a bit worrying that he hasn't been able to come back this season yet. So we're all just awaiting his comeback and to see how he returns. Chus Alba has been the dominant midfielder of the team. It's a good team, and of course with Juan Larios playing well as well at left back. But it's more of a collective. They also have a couple of other good individuals. We signed a left center back from Mallorca, Chadi Riyad, a left-footed Moroccan center back who was apparently one of the most promising left center backs of Spain. He's done very well. I've seen some games of his. Like, he's just absolutely brilliant for a center back. So hopefully he can make it far in the system. It would be nice to develop a very strong left center back for once. But most of all, this team is a great collective. Fermín López, he's not playing that much, unfortunately. He's super talented, but he's having a very difficult first juvenil year. He's just so small. It's painful to see because he's so talented. But maybe he'll miraculously just like rocket in the next years, like Ricky Puig, who didn't play that much for juvenil B in his first juvenil B year, or he had some difficulties because of physique as well. But yeah, this team is definitely based more on collective than like individual superstars.
And this is the group that were that talented kid at A squad from a year ago. So I want to then end this show. Well, we'll end the show with one player from the infantile level, but we're going to end this segment by talking about the kid at Oz. So I want to say that the current leader for La Masia goals, that is a cadet A player, and that is Angel Alarcón. He's got 14 goals, all these players that I'm mentioning now, 15 years old as well. Some other of the attackers with Alarcón, Ilias Akamash, 15-year-old with 6 goals. Diego Almeida is the center back, who we have actually mentioned before. He was playing up a level with the cadet A's already last year, so he's returning to the cadet A level. Is also breaking into Juvenil Bay, as well as a player who has made the jump to cadet A that we would want to talk about, also 15 years old, but on the younger side of 15, is Pablo Gabi, as what you'll see is him as Gabi Paez. He has been pretty fantastic as well. So those are the four names for cadet A that I just wanted to earmark. And Naveed, you know, I'll give you your platform, let you go in the cadet A, and if there's any names you want to mention as well, you can throw them in the ring.
Yeah, I think Ilias and Gabi are probably the two talents that I'm mostly excited about at the entire academy. Maybe if I had to choose 5 on all levels, like, they would be among them. And if I had to choose, like, they're just ridiculous. I asked the former La Masia coach a few months ago, like, who are the best players that you've coached? Who are the most talented players that you've coached? And one of the players, like you mentioned, 5 or 6, one of the players was Gabi. Pablo Paez, Gavi, his nickname is Gavi for whatever reason, and like two-footed, typical Barca midfielder who's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, his technique is super, like his close control is ridiculous, and technically he's what everything you'd expect of a midfielder. He's still a bit small, but he's so fast and tiny that the opponents, they barely notice him before he's already beaten them. So he's extremely, him and Ilias, like, I just pray to God that the club will manage to renew them, because they're 100%, they have first team potential. Ilias was extremely mentioned in the media because of a major screw up by the La Masia director, Patrick Kluivert. He said in an interview, he said something about Ricky, that he wasn't ready for the first team and he should be loaned out. But then he also said that, oh, and I found the next Messi in La Masia, like, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
He just said that he has found the next Messi in La Masia. And then journalists found out that the player that he was talking about was Ilias. Like those of us who follow like these teams very closely, we know about Ilias's qualities. Like, he's exploded in the last couple of years, especially last season. That was his breakthrough. He joined 2 or 3 years ago. But like, he's not an attacker. Like, he's not a striker or a winger. He's a bit of everything, but he is that unplayable left-footed attacking player, but not like Messi. And like, why would you even compare one of your youth players whom you're going to go into contract negotiations with in a moment with Messi? Like, it's something you would expect of someone who's making like silly YouTube compilations and making these titles like Ilias Akhomash, the Moroccan Messi or something.
Right. Yeah.
But if we just look past like Kluivert's mistakes, Ilias is a a machine, and he's absolutely unplayable. He could be playing regularly with the Juvenil Bay, I'm sure. I think that's just a matter of time before maybe he'll even skip Juvenil Bay next season, because he's just a ridiculous talent. Both him and Gavi are extremely, extremely impressive, and I just hope, like, more than any other player this season, more than any other cadet player this season, I hope that those two will stay. And Diego Almeida is, together with Landry Faré, who is with the Infantil A, Yeah, he's the best center back in the academy, and those two are the best center backs in the academy. So, yeah, I also hope that he'll stay. A very aggressive, dynamic back, very great on the ball as well.
Yeah, and it is interesting that we've been talking about there is a much more Moroccan flair to La Masia this year. Some of the best products, as we mentioned, coming over from Mallorca was Chadli, as well as Ilias, and then Gaylan that we spoke about as well, all being a Moroccan talents that we did not mention even a year ago. So it's nothing to it, just an interesting thing to note. And the final thing, just an interesting thing to note, playing at the infantile levels, both between the A and the Bay, is Lamine Yamal. It's the last name we'll mention here on the show. Again, you're not going to earmark him for greatness. I always, as we mentioned, the younger they get, the more and more I tiptoe. That's why we stop at Cadet A when they're about 15 years old, because even that's too young. But you do see in the UK, and you do see around even in France, you will see 15 or 16-year-olds making debuts for first teams. Like Ansu Fati made his debut when he was 16. So that's why we do mention even the Juvenile Bay and Cadet A's, because they, in theory, are players that in other first teams around the world might get a debut. But for Lamine Yamal, he's nowhere near a first-team debut for anybody. But I do want to mention that his 68 goals total at the infantile level puts him third on the list behind Takefusa Kubo and Pablo Moreno at that level, as well as being just in front of Ansu Fati on that list. So Lamine Yamal, just at least at the infantile level, that's as far as we're going to say. He has been lighting it up. So that's the final note I want to end with there, Navid, right?
Yeah, this is his first year as an 11, like football 11 player, like 11 aside pitch player. He was playing 7 aside last season for Alvinay, so he should be like adapting to football 11 this year, especially given his size. He's not that big, but even despite that, already in October, like maybe it was even, I think it was the second or third round, league round, he was playing and starring for Infantile A, playing against kids 2 years older than him and like at least 10, 15 centimeters taller than him. And he was just running rings around them. He has, if any YouTuber would be as smug, like searching for clickbaits and whatever, and they wanted to compare him with someone, that's someone you could compare with Messi. If Clive would want to compare someone with Messi again in 2-3 years, that's someone you can actually compare with Messi, because Lamine is actually an attacker, and he scores a lot of goals, and he's just lightning quick, extremely good dribbler on the ball, and he's gonna star for Infantil B in the La Liga Promises international tournament, which is gonna be around New Year's. Maybe when people are listening to this, they can go on YouTube and see highlights from the, or even watch the games live. And of course I'm really not like looking for comparisons with this or this star, but yeah, he's a very interesting player. As you said, he almost broke the goal scoring record for most goals for a La Masia player, for a 7-a-side La Masia player last season. And right now there's another kid whom I think could beat that record. Over the season, he scored 30 something goals in 12 games this season. So he's very interesting, but that's going to be for another show in some years, hopefully.
Yeah, because we always do have our, you know, we'll have you back on at the end of the year to break down. Hopefully a player like Astui is able to come back. But I'm glad, Navi, that you joined us. And again, these are always in the weeds kind of shows for the only most devout Kool-Aids, the ones who were willing to just hitch their wagon to hope. And with Ansu Fati this year, I think there's been some renewed hope and some renewed energy. And for all the unfortunate decisions made by Kluivert and the issues about Valdez, and again, some of the injuries, unfortunately, that we have to speak up with some of these players, I think things for La Masia have been largely promising in a way that they might not have been in recent years. So we are just waiting on Ricky Pouz to be the next. But Navid, hopefully by the next time I speak to you, we have better things even to talk about when it comes to Pouge and some of the players we named here. So I want to thank you for joining me again.
Hey, you're welcome. And just one single note, the whole development with Ansu is just a proof that if you're good enough, you're old enough. Like, players don't have to stay 2 years, 3 years at the B team before getting a couple of first team games. Like, they can jump, they can make the jump and be good enough if given the chance.
Yep, for certain. And so while we do make you wait for Navid to come on, I want to just let everyone know, please follow Naveed on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter. That's at Naveed. And then it's J-A-A-A, three A's with an N. And we'll also put that in the description on BarcaBlog.com. So also go to Twitter. Just type in Naveed Molagai, and that should help it out. You'll find him there, the one and only Naveed Molagai. So thanks so much for tuning in. Again, you can tap in your app and check out the show notes to subscribe. You can find us on social media. We're also there on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod or at Hilton D13 for me, on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod, closed Facebook group, tbpod.link/group for deeper dives and discussions. On Patreon for the quick take match reviews at tvpod.link/Patreon. As low as $3 gets you in there. And then we're also on YouTube, where I'm going to have a light compilation of all the, not all the names, but of some of the names that we earmarked here. And I'll profile them as I do every 6 or 7 months as well. So that is at the Barcelona Pod. If you want to easily, we'll say the abbreviated version of this on YouTube. So check us out there and hit that subscription button. So thanks for so much for listening to the Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. And Forza Barça.
Forza.